Anybody not mind if I go to an old Zed?
I don't mind. It's a good idea.
Can't hear you for the night.
Why? I
didn't
put so much breath in this
life. Like,
somebody said, he went round into a wedding. And he said he wanted to do a survey. And the people thought the music was too loud or not too loud. So he said, I'm pleased to report that I got no complaints whatsoever. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, 60% of the people said the music was absolutely fine. And the other 40% never heard my question at all.
The other way around.
Okay. Parshas Vayikra, of course, deals in the main with the Avodah, the Korbonos, the Beis HaMikdash. Posuk Aleph, Perek Aleph, Posuk Ches, V'oruchu Bnei Aaron, HaKoyanim Es HaNosochim Es HaRoish Ves HaPoder Al Ho'etzim Asher Al Ho'esh Al Asher Al HaMizbeach. The words in the Posuk, which are what we're going to discuss today, are the words V'oruchu Bnei Aaron, the sons of Aaron. It is based on these words that Chazal derive that it has to be the Bnei Aaron, the sons, the male continuation of Aaron, rather than the Bnois Aaron, the female descendants of Aaron. The Noshim are disqualified from performing Avodah in the Beis
HaMikdash. Aaron had daughters. Did Aaron have daughters for sure?
We do not know he had daughters. I know he had four sons, not all of you, a lot of you. Some of it's a drosha. It's a drosha. Otherwise, it didn't even say V'orchu Bnei Aaron. It could have just said V'orchu HaKoenim.
We have proofs that he has. Because Tzadik has to have daughter and a boy. There's no way that Aaron doesn't have.
I call upon him. So the Mishnah. The Mishnah in Kiddushin. Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, number 3 on the sheet says, Mishnah, Hasmichos, Vahatnufos, Vahagoshos, Vahakmitzos, Haktorois, Malikos, Kabolos, Vahazois, all the various different avodas, Noyagim, Ba'anoshim, Veloy Benoshim. They can be performed by men, but not by women. Chutz mi mincha seita, v'nazira, Shehein menifos, that's an exception. That's the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Smichos, how do I know? Dexiv, Daber el Bnei Yisrael v'somach, Bnei Yisrael seimchim, v'ein Bnois Yisrael seimchim. So we learn, wherever it says Bnei, then that is coming to exclude Bnois. So when it says V'orchu Bnei Aaron, and by the way, if you look in the Chumash in this week's Sedra, the phrase Bnei Aaron repeats itself again and again. V'hevio el Bnei Aaron hakoinim v'komatz misham. The Hiktiru as Bnei Aaron HaMizbecha. This phrase, Bnei Aaron, repeats itself several times, from which Chazal say that you can only have the Avodah performed by the Bnei Aaron and not the Bnois Aaron. And not only that, if they would perform the Avodah, if women would perform the Avodah, then the Avodah is possible. The Avodah is possible, which, by the way, should not be taken for granted, because unlike in other areas of the Torah, in Kodshim, all halachas pertaining to the Beis HaMikdash is a very peculiar rule called Shina Olav or Shona Olav HaKosov La'akev, which means that you only learn that something does not work even b'dieved if it's repeated twice. In other words, normally, B'chol HaTorah Kula, if the Torah tells you, you must shake a lulav. Well, if you shake something else, then obviously you're not Yetzer. I only need one posuk to tell me that. Whereas it comes to Kodshim, you always need two psukim. The Torah has to say that the Avodah has to be performed by men. But if it only be one posuk, the Gemara always asks, and how do you know the B'dieved it's not good either? The Gemara always says, that's the initial Azhara, how do you know that? Okay, the Gemara has to bring a second posuk. That's a rule in all Kodshim. But you have to have two psukim. I always say my children, I like Kodshim. Unless I say things twice, it's Eitzah Teva. Shina Alav La'ake. At least twice to show that you really mean it.
Same Kodashim.
I'll call upon him. So that's the halacha. If Isha does the Avodah, not only is she not allowed to do it in the first place, it's an Issa, but if she does perform the Avodah, then the whole Avodah is Psula. We also know that there's a general issa, which is learned from Pashas Korach, number 2 on the sheets. V'nilvu alecha v'shomres mishmeres oyel meyed l'choyel avoidas ha'oyel. V'zor lo yikrav aleichem. A zor, a non-koyein, is also not allowed to perform the avoidah. And if he performs the avoidah, again, the avoidah is psula. The question is, and that's what I wanted to discuss today a little bit, is have these two inyonim got any relationship at all? A isha can't do avoidah, and a zar, a non-kohen, can't do an avoidah. Is that two separate halachas in kodshim, in karbonos, or is there perhaps room to say that they're very much linked? Where does this begin? This begins in a Mishnah Lamelech. In a Mishnah Lamelech. If a non-kohen performs the avoidah, not only has he been over an issa, not only is the avoid apostle, but there's a special punishment, misa bidei shamayim. We learn from a pasuk, misa bidei shamayim is the punishment for a zohar who performs the avoidah. Comes along the Mishnah Lamelech, this is number 10 on the sheets. Oid ani mistapik, says the Mishnah Lamelech, I have a suffix. With regard to what the Rambam writes in Perek Tes, which we'll soon see, Mitzashem, v'hiktiru b'nei Aharon v'loi b'nois Aharon, im avru b'nois Aharon v'hiktiru. Says the Mishnah Melech, what would be if the b'nois Aharon, a woman, would perform the avodah, im yu chayovois misa kazar? Will she also be chayav misa just like a zar sheshemosh oy dilma? Or perhaps says the Mishnah Melech, no, the leker buhu elolav habo michlal asay. Perhaps all we have with an isha is it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah an isha must not perform the avoid. It doesn't write it anywhere in that loshon of a loisa say. An isha shall not perform avoid. It doesn't say that. It says b'nei aharin, from which we learn v'loi b'nei saharin. That's not called a loi sase. That's called a lav habo michlal ase. It's a loi sase which is derived from ase. It's not written as a loi sase. And therefore, at worst, says the Mishnah Melech, if an isha performs the avodah, so she's mevatel la'asei, she's over the issa of bnei aharon v'loi bnei saharon. But that has nothing to do with the other pasuk where it says mefurish v'zor lo yikrav aleichem, is a mefurish lo sase, no shaychus.
Why safik? We have a rule that we never have chayif misa either by diyuk or by kol vachomer.
Right, 100%.
So why is it I have safik?
So what's his safik? We're going to explain. He does not explain to us the Mishnah Melech, right, like you say, what the two tzadim of the
koyach. The reason is not so clear.
That's going to be the shame.
Also, how can somebody be vatal and say that's incumbent on somebody else? It's not her
asay
that to
know. Enachanami. It's a lav habo mechlal asay. It's not a bitl asay. You're right. It's not correct to call it a bitl asay. Yeah. A bitl asay is if I don't shake luluf. If I don't put on tefillin in the morning. I have an asay. I'll mevatel it. This is not a bitl asay. You're right. It's a lav habo mechlal asay. There is an asay which, you're right, refers to kohenim, b'nei aharon, from which we derive v'loi b'nei aharon. So any isha who does the avodah is contravening the v'loi b'nei aharon. But it doesn't say that as a loi sase in the Torah. Therefore, says the Mishnah Melech, would we say that yes, it's an issa for them to do, yes, they're machalal the avodah, but there's no misa. Misa is something specific to a zar. So the Mishnah Melech doesn't explain to us what exactly is the tutzdodim of the coin. As Michael pointed out, we have a halacha, ein einshin min hadin. You cannot give a punishment based on svara or diyukim, even if you have a kal v'chayma. So, what does the Mishnah Melech mean? That, oh, maybe she also gets a misa. Why should she have a misa? So, what I'd like to explain today is, I think there are two ways of explaining that side of the coin of the Mishnah Melech. Why should it be, even though we can entertain the possibility that a woman should get misa like a zar? And then we'll see, Be'ez Hashem, there seem to be rayas, lekan, or lekan, kedarka shel Torah. We're not coming to resolve the shayla, rather just to discuss it. If you look at the Rambam says a tremendous chiddush. Number 9 on the sheets. This is the Rambam in Hilchas Bias HaMikdash, Perek Tes Halacha Aleph. Says the Rambam, Zor Einom Kohen She'ovad B'Mikdash, who performed Avoido in the Mikdash, Avoido Soi Psula, the Avoido is invalid. V'chayev Misa B'dei Shemayim She'nemar, as it is written, V'hazor HaKorev Yumos. It's written in the Pasuk, the Zor Korev literally means who just draws near. Says the Rambam, it doesn't mean just coming near to the Beis HaMikdash, but Pi Hashmu Alamdu She'ein Chiyuv Zeh Ela LeKorev LaAvoido. Okay? V'heichon Hizir Olov. And where was the initial Issa? V'zor lo yikrav aleichem. If you dive back into number 2 on the sheets, that's the Pasuk. V'zor lo yikrav aleichem, a Pasuk in Korach. Says the Rambam, Eizehu Zar. What's the definition of a Zar? So if we would have stopped there, I would have said, peculiar question. Definition of a Zar is anybody who's not a Kohen. The Rambam doesn't say that. Eizehu Zar, kol She'einoi mizera aharoin hazachorim. Unbelievable chiddush in the Rambam. If we would have been the Rambam, I think we would have written kol she'einoi mizera aharoin. Anybody who's not descendant of Aharon is not a Kohen. The Rambam says no. The definition of a zar is kol she'einoi mizera aharoin hazachorim. Anybody who is not a male descendant of Aharon is considered a Zar. Shenema, va'orchu b'nei Aharon, ve'iktiru b'nei Aharon, v'loi b'nei Saharon. If you look at the Rambam seems to be saying that we have to redefine the word Zar. We always thought Zar happens to be dependent on which family you are a member of. If you're a descendant of Aharon, you're a Kohen. If not, then you're not. Says the Rambam, no, that's not the definition. The definition is anybody who is not a male descendant of Aharon is considered a Zar. Kol she'einei mizera Aharon hazachorim.
When you say Mizera Aharon hazachorim, it doesn't mean from that the Kehunah transmits from the father.
Depends where you put the comma.
Right.
Kol she'einei mizera Aharon hazachorim.
Look at the hemshech of the Rambam.
A Kohen is someone who has a father who is a Kohen, right?
Right.
The Kehunah transmitted
by. What's it? He carries on. The Rambam carries on. B'nei Aharon v'loy b'nois Aharon. Therefore, we're disqualifying the sons. We're disqualifying the daughters as opposed to the sons. Why? Because they're not zera Aharon hakohenim. Now, we have to point out straight away. All the Meforashim and the Rambam point this out. The Marikurkas and the Kesef Mishnah, I believe, and others on the Rambam, they all say, my Kukas, the Radvaz, they all say that even according to the Rambam who seems to be telling us a Chiddush Godel, that a non-male descendant of Aaron is considered a Zar, that's only with regard to Avodah. That's only with regard to Avodah. She certainly has some halachas of Kahuna. We know that she can eat truma if she's a Bas Kohen, she can eat kodshim if she's a Bas Kohen.
No pidyon ben, I think.
No pidyon ben is also true. She certainly has some halachas. Sorry, can I just trouble you to turn on the light? Just behind you, sorry. Just the right hand side, thank you. She certainly has some halachic status of kohen, no shaila about it. This Rambam is talking about avoida. This Rambam is talking about avoida. He's not dealing with hilchas truma, he's not dealing with hilchas kodshim, it's hilchas bias mikdosh. With regard to Avoida, the Rambam is defining for us a definition of a Zar is anybody who is not a male descendant of Kahuna. There's a lotion of...
What's a shal about Chiyuv Misa then? If he defines it as a Zar...
In light of the Rambam, we understand, maybe too well, that's what you're asking, but we understand now the Tzad in the Mishnah Melech that an Isha who does Avoido in the Beis HaMikdash should get Misa like a Zar, because she is a Zar. We always thought until now it's two separate parshias in the Torah. There is the Zar and there's the Isha. But it's apparent from the Rambam that in fact it's one thing. A Zar is anybody who is not a male descendant of Kahuna. Now, if you're a female descendant, it doesn't matter. It doesn't help that you are descendant of Aaron, you're still considered a Zara, therefore you'd get Chiv Misa. Why the Mishnah Melech is still mistapak about it? So you have to know, because, as we said, firstly, she's not an out-and-out Zara. with regard to other halachas, she's not a zar. So maybe the Mishnah Melech said, even though she's a zar legava avoida, maybe we only have a raya from the Torah that somebody who's an out and out zar gets misa. But I'm just trying to be mazbeh. What should be bechlal the tzad ba'olam that she should get misa? She's not a zar. The Rambam says no, she is a zar. The Meiri also says such a lashon. By the way, the Meiri says zar sheshimesh is a Meiri in Sanhedrin. Rotzoloima she'einoi mizera aharoin umin hazuchorim shabohem. Very similar lashon. What's the definition of a zar? Somebody who is not descendant of Aaron or not a zohar. And again, it seems to be saying that the definition of zar is anybody who is not a male zer Aaron. And according to that, we understand the Mishnah Melech very well. That's why the Mishnah Melech has every right to pose this shaila, that maybe she, this Isha who does Avodah, will also be Chayav Misa, just like a regular normal Zah. That's the other side of the coin, so it could be. Because at the end of the day, she's not a Zah with regard to Truma and Kodshim and all other halachas. Therefore, maybe we'll say it's only if you've got the complete package of Zah. That's at least the Shaila in. That's at least the Shaila in the Mishnah.
And probably Rambam learning it from Bnei Aaron.
Correct. Like he says, Rambam seems to be saying this chiddush from Bnei veloy Bnois. He's learning that Bnei is not a brand new chiddush. Bnei Aaron means, I wrote somewhere one place, there's a Loshon HaPosuk which says Bnei Aaron HaKoyanim. So I wrote like what you said. Bnei Aaron HaKoyanim could be, that's where the Rambam got it from. That the Torah is defining, what does it mean HaKoyanim? The Bnei Aaron. But if you're the Bnei Aaron, then you're simply not a Kohen at all. Could be. However, if you look in the Asfen Deraisa was written by Rabbi Yosef Engel, number 12 on the sheets. And I think there, when I saw this Asfen Deraisa, I think there would emerge a different reason completely. A far more general reason why it could be that an Isha who does Avodah would be Chayev Misa, even though none of us would have thought that she's considered a Zar. So the first way of learning was in light of the Loshon HaRambam. It seems to be mashma that no, she is a zar because she's not a zoch. The Asfen Deraisa takes this sophic of the Mishnah Melech and he expands it to Kol HaTorah Kula. For example, he says, we know who regularly performs the Avodah, any Kohen. Kohen Hediot. When is the one day in the year that a Kohen Hediot cannot perform the Avodah? Yom Kippur. We learn from Psukim it's got to be done by a Kohen Gadol, not the Kohen Hediot. Says the Asfen Deraisa, if a Kohen Hediot would perform the Avodah on Yom Kippur, maybe he'd be Chayev Misa like a Zohar. What does that mean? How can you say he's a Zohar? He's not a Zohar, he's a Kohen. He's a fully fledged Kohen. It seems to be that the Asfen Deraisa has a new understanding in this whole inyan, as he's understanding that anybody who the Torah disqualifies from Avodah is automatically rendered a Zar. That was the Shaila of the Mishnah Melech. It wasn't a local Shaila with regard to Isha. That perhaps we need to redefine the definition Zar, because if you're not a male, you're a Zar. No! It seems to be from the Asfen Deraisa that he understood the Mishnah Melech was clearing a different tzad. That if you're disqualified from Avodah, then by definition you fall into the category of Zar. Yeah. Do you know what Zar means? Zar doesn't mean non-Kohen. Zar means anybody who's not allowed to do Avodah. For example, on a regular day, let's not talk about Yom HaKippurim. Who does the Zrika, the Kabbalah, the Halacha? Only Kohenim. What about the Shechita? We know anybody can do that. Shechita Kshera Bazar. Again, the halacha on Yom Kippur is that it can't be done by a zar. Everything, including the shechit, has got to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Says the Asfen Deraisa, what happens if the zar would do it? He says, maybe b'chayav misa. But why should b'chayav misa? A zar is allowed to do shechit. She says, no, again, because in as much as the Torah disqualifies him, at least on Yom Kippur, from doing the avodah or even the shechit, then this goes into the general category called Zar. He's redefining the word Zar for us in a far more expansive fashion. Not just like what we learned in the Rambam, that a Zar means a non-male Kohen. No! Azar means anybody who the Torah doesn't allow to do the Avodah. Let's have a look at the Yasu and the Reis, number 12 on the sheets. Veda, he says. The Kasfeikov, it should say, Shela Pashas Drochim. Yeshle Stapi Gam came, Behod, Omrinon Beyuma. Daf Mem Beis, the Shechitas Parishal, Kohen Godel, Bazar Psulo. We know that a Zar is not allowed to do the Shechita on Yom Kippurin. And you learn it from a Pasuk. E Kohen Hedyot, She Ovad, Bedieved. Ova rak aasei da aharein veloi kain hedyut. We learn from a pasuk it's got to be aharein and not a kain hedyut. Oy dilma hoel vehitzrech hakosuv aharein. Once the Torah necessitated the avoda must be performed by aharein, hava lei kazar. Maybe all the kainim is an unbelievable chiddush of the Asan deraisa, but he bases it on the Mishnah Melech. Every kain on Yom Kippurim has a din of a zar. How can he be a Zar? He's a Kohen. His father was a Kohen, his Zayda was a Kohen, he was a Zayda, he's Kohen all the way back to Aaron HaKohen. He carries on. V'chein yesh le'estapek, sofik zeh, v'kohen hedyet she'ovad avodas hayoyim b'yom ha'kippurim, im hu belav kezar, v'im osa avodah tamo, she'bahem chayv aleha misa, v'dei shemayim kezor she'chayv misa. The Asan deraisa seems to have learned not like we began. If we learnt in the Rambam that it's a local shaila in Isha, and Isha is considered a Zar because she's a non-male, then what right has Yasin Deraisa got to start connecting this to a Kohen Hedyot in Yom Kippurim? What's that got to do with it? He's certainly a Kohen. It's clear Lechol, he's got a different Havana. He's learning that the Mishnah Melech wasn't coming to raise a possibility that an Isha particularly is called a Zar, but actually, anybody who's disqualified from the Avodah is considered a Zar. And that's why the Asan deraisa says, well, if that's the case, you can have a bizarre scenario in which a Kohen Hedyot is in fact considered a Zar. How can that be? He's a Kohen. He's an out-and-out Kohen. The Torah says, no. Inasmuch that on Yom HaKippurim, the Torah says, Aharon v'loy Kohen Hedyot, he's got a din of a Zar. And if he does Avodah,
v'chav
misa
v'dei shemayim. So would that apply to anybody for Lo'aleinu for Kohen's and Oinan?
Right, perhaps all these psalim, enochanami. Perhaps. So you have to, obviously, we need a posuk to teach us that each one on its own right is considered a psul. But after the posuk, it could well be that now they all have the qualification of a Zar. Because they are disqualified from the Avodah. It sounds like that's what the Asan deraisa is saying.
Why isn't it just a local halakha in Psulim of the Yom Kippur? Why, how does it extend? I don't know how he's extending it.
No, the Mishnah Melech himself was never talking about Yom Kippurim. The Mishnah Melech was talking about Isha. So how did the Asan deraisa get from Isha to Yom Kippurim? So he understands that the Mishnah Melech was not clearing a local Shaila in Isha. The Mishnah Melech's tzad that an Ishop should be Chayav Misa is by virtue of the fact that she's disqualified from the Avodah. Nothing else. Oh, well, if that's the case, then anybody who's disqualified from the Avodah is also considered a Zar. Let it be a Kohen Hedyot! A Kohen! He's a Kohen! Just let it in a Zar. Why? Because one day a year he's not allowed to do the Avodah. You see, that's how far he takes the Sofik of the Sofik of the Mishnah Melech. So as we mentioned, in the Rambam who says this Loshen, that a non-male Kohen is considered a Zar, we have a Mashmos there that should be Chav Misa, B'nei Shemayim. If you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, the Minchas Chinuch, number 11 on the sheet, says, in the Sefer HaChinuch is not Mashmah like that way. He says, Shelo Yavid HaZar B'Mikdosh, Chloima, Kol Mishayinu Mizera Aroin, Shinema V'Zar Lo Yikro. He brings the Rambam, etc., etc., and he says, Mavua lahedya, on the fifth line, Mavua lahedya. The Rambam, it's not my diuk anymore, the Minchas Chinuch says in Mefurash, Mavua lahedya, the kol she'einoi mibnei aharein hazachorim, hava bichlal zor. Minchas Chinuch is medakit. Umuzhorim belav hazeh, v'gam kein chayovim bo'inesh, hein midei shamayim. Why? Kiyim zorim gumurim, they're absolute zarim. However, Harav HaMechaba, he says, the Sefer HaChinuch, Einoi Mevi HaZachorim. This is very interesting. The Sefer HaChinuch almost always follows in the footsteps of the Rambam. And here he missed out one word. He says, what's the definition of a zar? anybody who's not Mizera Aharon, period. Not Einei Mizera Aharon HaZachorim. He missed out that word Zachorim, which makes all enough gemina. He says, Efshe De'enon B'chalal Lav HaZeh, Kiven De'heim Zera Aharon. At the end of the day, this woman is a descendant of Aaron. V'loi HaVazorim. How can you consider them a Zara? So for this whole Shaila of the Mishnah Lamelech, the Minchas Chinuch is suggesting, it's in fact the Machloikus Rambam and Sefer HaChinuch, and it's all based on one word. So whether this woman will be Chayev Misa is dependent on one word of the Rambam. If we are to define a Zara as a non-male Kohen, she's a non-male Kohen, she's a Zara, she's Chayev Misa. The Sefer HaChinuch omitted that word, it's mashma from him that no, a Zara is like we always understood, is a non-descendant of Aaron. But if you are a descendant of Aaron, you might be disqualified because you're an Isha, but you can't call him a Zara. There are many, many rayas, lakan or lakan, to this shayla. But there is one raya from a Tosfos in Kiddushin. That's Lamed Vav Omed Aleph. We said that the Mishnah there talks about, for example, smichis. Smichis. Tznufais, hahagoshes, all the avoides that the Mishnah mentions that women are disqualified from. And how do we learn it? So Gemara says, b'nei arein, v'loi b'nois arein, b'nei v'loi b'nois, again and again. Comes along Tosfos, and Tosfos asks the following question. Now let's listen to this question, and see what we could daik from the kasha of Tosfos. Tosfos says, when do you perform avodah? Only by yom and not by laila. Can't do avodah by laila. In which case, all avodah is
time-bound.
It's a mitzvah saseh shazman gromo. Frek Tosfos, if so, why do I need all these psukim to tell me men yes, women not? It's a mitzvah saseh shazman gromo. They're anyway exempt.
Kippur, that's not for Israel.
Oh, very good. 1 second, you hit the jackpot. 1 second. Azoi frek Tosfos. Again, why do I need all the psukim to say, b'nei, 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 women are excluded. They're excluded anyway because it's a mitzvah saseh shazman gromo. You only perform avodah during the day and not during the night. So he says, so he answers your Tosfos says that. He says, no, because without the posuk, I would never have known that the avodah is posel. I wouldn't have known the avodah is posel. I would say, fine, okay, they're exempt. Mitzvah seish is man gromo. But it doesn't mean that they're mechalal the avodah. They're mechalal the avodah. Therefore, I have a posuk to teach me, b'nei Aaron, b'nei Aaron, you should know that in fact, they're actually mechalal the avodah. That's what Tosfos says. Tosfos gives you a terence. The shaila is that, hang on a moment, Tosfos has jumped two stages. If it would be a mitzvah saseh shazman gromo, if it would be a mitzvah saseh shazman gromo, and that's it, so what would I say? I'd say women are exempt from doing yavoyidah. Is there an issa for them to do yavoyidah? No issa. There's no issa for a woman to shake lulav. There's no issa for a woman to hear shofar. She's not mechayev. So I have a pasuk to tell me that b'nei arim v'loi b'nei sarim. How do you know from there that she's mechalal yavoida?
Because she's a czar.
One second. How do you get from stage one to stage three? Mitzvah saseh shazman gromo exempts them. So if I've got one posuk, I'd say, do you know what the posuk teaches me? That not only are they exempt, it's actually forbidden for them to do the avoida. It's an issa. Now you want to say they're mechalal yavoida? That you need another posuk for. How do you jump from stage one to stage three? Tosfos says, without the pasuk, you would have learned that they're merely exempt. It's a mitzvah saseh shazman gromo. The pasuk tells you that in fact they're mechalal the whole avodah. Whoa, what a jump. Tosfos should have said, no, without the pasuk, they're exempt from avodah. With the pasuk, there's actually an issa for them to perform the avodah. But how do you get to this huge chiddush of the mechalal the avodah? It must be, says the Taras HaKodesh, this is what you meant, I think, that Tosfos learns like the Rambam. Tosfos learns like the Rambam. That when he saw that posuk, b'nei Aaron, v'loi b'nei Aaron, he understood that an Isha is a Zar. Ah, therefore, if she's a Zar, then once there's an Issa for her to do the Avodah, automatically she's Mechalal the Avodah as well, because she's like a Zar. You can't ask that one second there's stage one, stage two, stage three. It's not three separate stages. As soon as you tell me stage two that she's got the din of a psul, b'nei Aaron v'lo b'nei Sa'arin, which according to the Rambam means she's categorized as a zar, it's automatically stage three. So automatically she's machal al yavoida. That says the Taras HaKodesh is a raya brura from Tosfos that he seems to have learned exactly like the Rambam. That all I need is a posuk to tell me that an isha is a zar, bang, she's machal al yavoida. I don't now need an extra posuk.
So when Paisa says he was from Kraw, which Kraw is he talking about? Which
B'nai Aaron v'lo B'nai Sa'arin.
And you need that.
Yeah, without B'nai Aaron v'lo B'nai Sa'arin, what would I have known? I would have known she's exempt. Mitzvah Saseh Shaz Man Grom. What does the Torah tell you? Aha, not just exempt, there's an Issa. Which Issa? It's called B'nai v'lo B'nais. As soon as Tosa saw that, B'nai v'lo B'nais means that she's a Zar. Okay, she's M'chal Avodah on the spot. That says the Taras HaKodesh is a raya brura that you see that Tosfos learns like the shitta of the Rambam. It could well be, you may have Rabbi Yisach, we're saying this machlokes between the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch and Tosfos, it might actually be a mefurash gemara. One word of a gemara, but it's tailor on the girsos. So it's either a raya to the Rambam or a raya against the Rambam, but it's definitely a raya. What's the gemara? The gemara is in Zvachim Daf Dalet Amud Alef. The Gemara is talking about halacha, which is not a gate to ask, but for Eiz Hashem, I'd like to discuss it one week because it's a very big inyan, and that's the inyan of lishma. When you perform the avodah, you have to be mechaven lishma. We've discussed it on other occasions, legabel l'shem chulin, etc., etc. Not a gate for today. So the Gemara goes through every single avodah in the carbon, proving that it's got to be done lishma. Now, how many avodahs are there? Four. Shchita, Kabbalas Hadam, Hoylochas Hadam, Zrikas Hadam. So the Gemara goes slowly. The Gemara says, I've got a pasuk that tells me when you makabal the dam, when you collect that dam in the kohes, you've got to be mechaven that I'm doing this lishma. I'm not just doing a dam collecting party. I'm actually now being makabal the dam, l'shem, whatever carbon it is. Fine. Says the Torah, says the Gemara, why do I now need a second posuk to tell me that you've got to do the shechita lishma as well? Why can't I just learn that out from Kabbalah? If you've got to do Kabbalah lishma, well, presumably you've got to do shechita lishma as well. Says the Gemara, if you look at number 5 on the sheet, the bold line, where it says, no, ma le Kabbalah shekein psula bizar v'isha. The Gemara says you can't learn out from Kabbalah. Kabbalah is a much more chomur avodah, has much more strict rules. Haraya, it's posel bazar ube isha, as opposed to shchita. Shchita can be done by a zar, it can be done by an isha, therefore maybe also it doesn't need to be done lishma. That's what the Gemara says. Look at a three-word hagav shita mukubet says.
The fact it says shah of zah and isha is two categories.
Oh, meridik! Look at the shita mukubet says number 6 on the sheets. Says the shita mukubet says tevas isha nimchak. The word isha is omitted. It's a mistake. You want to delete the word isha. So Rabbi Yosef, he means what you're just trying to point out. Why is the shita mukubet says omitting the word isha? It's true. It really is true. Why is he omitting it? Why is he saying that when the Gemara says the Kabbalah is psula bazar isha, delete the word isha? Why? It's not true. It is true. Says the Brisk Rosh Hashiva, Beryl Soloveitchik, Rabbi Yosef Yodiyuk. The Shittim Ukubet says learn like the Rambam. So if a zar and isha is all one category, so why do you need to say the same thing twice? Why do you need to say the same thing twice? He said you have to omit the word isha.
But he doesn't know that. He has like a minchaskinos.
Who's that?
The
Gemara. Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's what I said to you before. The Gemara is either a raya to the Rambam or against. The nusach that we have in front of us is a raya that zar and isha is two separate psalim. But the Shittim Ukubetzes goes out of his way to say it's a printer mistake. Take out the word isha. Says Reberel, the son of the Brisker of number 13 on the sheets. Vashitim Ukubet says, Mochak Isha. Why did he delete it? The tamoy, who the reason behind this omission is, k'moy shekasev Rambam Hilchos Bias Hamikdash, v'zera she'enei ezehu zara kol she'enu mizera aron hazacharim, v'im kein, kohenes, Rav Yosef, this is what you said word for word, kohenes havarak psul zaros. Kohenes is a psul zaros. V'leka psul b'fnei atzmoy shel isha. It's not an independent psul.
What about... So right now, whole law inside of our own family, and that's all. What about if outside of our own family will come and do it? Right now, by Rambam, he said we wrote special family only for special law only for one family.
For Bnei Aaron. Descendants of Aaron. Male descendants.
Right now, by, because him, I don't know what happened if my wife will go and do it.
Obviously
not. She's a czar. She's
not.
She's a czar.
No.
She's definitely a czar.
He defines czar inside of our own family only.
No.
He says even a czar.
No.
He says a czar is anybody who's not...
You can learn
it. No. You call it oim shim makam. This is the definition. Yeah, what's the definition of a czar? Or let's... You know what? Let's flip this round. What's the definition of a kohen? A kohen is a male descendant of Aaron. Anybody else in the whole of Klal Yisrael, even Robertson Goffman, is a czar.
Fine. And when and Rambam, why can we repeat Rambam? This is because I understand when you read Rambam that he defines czar only inside of Kohen or Aaron family. Only inside.
No. He's saying to the contrary. Ezehu czar, he puts it in the negative. Kol she'einoi. Anybody who is not Mizera Aaron HaKohenim. The whole of Klal Yisrael, if they're not Mizera, Aaron, Azacharim, finished. They're a czar. Yeah, the definition of a kohen is, until today I always thought, the definition of a kohen is, if you're the son of a kohen, or the daughter of a kohen, says Rambam, no. The definition of a kohen is a male child of Aaron HaKohen, or a male descendant of Aaron HaKohen. Anybody else in Klal Yisrael, even within the family of Aaron HaKohen, is not a kohen. In which case, Rabbeinu is saying that's why the Shittim Ukabet says deleted the word Isha, because it makes no sense to say that Kabbalah is Psula Bazar VeIsha. What? That's two separate issues. That's one thing. Like he says, Veleka Psul Bifnei Atzmo Isha Isha. It's not independent Psul. It's the same thing.
So that means that women should not have any of the other alakot pertaining to the Kohen.
No, it's that we said. The Radvaz says, and the Marikurka says, the Rambam is only talking about Negeit Avodah. But Kodshim, Truma, all the other lachas, she has a din of a kohen, 100%.
But what's her mina that we can call woman regardless who is she is kohen?
Really? I understand the question.
No. The situation is, we always have definition of kohen, it's male. Regardless of our conversation. And female, the best, she is member of family of kohen.
Pinoska, is it Pinoska?
But it's nothing to do with Kohen from beginning. We never call woman Kohen.
She's not worse than a man. A man who's a Yisrael is a czar, his wife is also a czar. That was posher to us.
Right.
The Chiddush was... we thought that an Isha is an independent psul by virtue of the fact that she's a woman. A woman is a different... If a man and a wife do avodah, we always thought it's two separate issues. The man has a problem of a czar, and the woman, just because she's a female. The Rambam is telling us, no, it's exactly the same thing. The husband and the wife who do avodah, they are both disqualified based on one thing. They're both considered a czar. In fact, even if you were born to the Kohen's family, but if you're a woman, you're a czar. Kal v'chomer an isha of Gans Klal Yisrael. Says Rabbeinu, I have a raya to the Rambam from a Tosefta. What's the raya? Let's have a look at the end of number 13 on the sheets. Ulechein, Isa be Tosefta be Karbonus, v'zel ha'shoine. Oysa odom bomo. A bomo, we know what a bomo is, your own private mizbeach. Al Pesach chatzeroi, v'al Pesach ginosa, you can have your own private bomo. Makriv aleo hu, ubnoi, ubitoi, and his daughter. How can daughter be makriv on the bomo? Says the Rebbeinu, the babomo de kosher bazar who hadin isha. We know that a kohen is only required to do avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. But a own private bomo, even a non-kohen can do the avodah.
How is that proof?
Says Rebbeinu, how did the Tosefta know that even bitoy, a daughter, can also do avodah? Where did the Tosefta get that from? if we were to learn that a woman is an independent psul, then yes, a zar can do avodah on a bomber. How do you know an isha can as well? Says Rebbe, no, the whole psula hu rak mishum zarus. If the whole reason why a woman is ever disqualified from doing the avodah is because she is a zar, then if a zar can do avodah on a bomber, so to a woman.
Because in
Beis Hamikdash, there's an Ezra's Nashim, there's
a place designated.
True, but not for them to do avodah. Not for them to perform avodah.
No, but I mean, but yes, they didn't do
avodah.
It means that they couldn't do
avodah
where the men were doing it.
No,
they
couldn't do
avodah
at all.
I know that, but it also signifies that they couldn't do the avodah.
Practical, the practical problem.
If there's a place designated for women, they didn't do any avodah there.
I mean, how are they allowed to get in there at all?
But they couldn't do avodah where men were. That's what I'm
trying to say. Okay, good point. There's other problems as well, because there's other issues about what you do with big day kahuna. A woman's not allowed to wear big day kahuna. That's another reason to disqualify them, etc. You're saying a good point. Al koponim.
Quite a difficult proof.
Oh, why? I agree with you, but why? Why would you say difficult proof?
If we talk about a bomber, where everyone's allowed to do it, it doesn't mean because everyone's allowed to do it that we go back to the Beis Hamikdash that she dafka is not only not allowed to do it, but she's chayav misa for doing it.
No, forget chayav misa. Forget chayav misa. The Tisefta says that the bittoy is allowed to do avodah on the bomber. How is she allowed to do it?
Everyone's allowed to do it.
Oh, but maybe an isha is independent.
It's a kind of home in a sense. If a shifka and obdur is allowed to do it, of course you're going to bat a bus.
Okay, so on my side, I agree with you. I discuss this.
There's another problem, is it? When we define titles, when there was Beis Mikdash, who said that we can transfer definition of these titles when there's no Beis Mikdash, there's Bamas? It's Bamas, absolutely different game. So you cannot learn from one resource to another.
Now, I agree with you that a czar, a bomber is different. It has different halachas, but it doesn't have different definitions. A czar is something we need to define, period. Now we have a posuk, by the way, we learned this from a posuk, that a czar can do avodah on the bomber. So the way Rav Barrel's learning is, okay, let's first translate the word czar in the Beis Hamikdash and transplant that to bomber.
Yeah.
And if czar in the Beis Hamikdash incorporates woman, but it incorporates the legaba bomber as well. And that's how the Tisefta knows that a woman can do avodah on the bomber as well. Now, I agree with you.
It's a self-fulfilling proof, in a sense.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you. You could well have learned that, no, maybe an isha is an independent psul. There's a psul called zar, and there's a psul called isha. And like you said, and maybe bomber, both are permitted to do avodah. Zar, Isha, Evej, how do you know that has to be all in one group?
So Beryl's starting from the Rambam and is proving it.
Yeah, 100%. If you learn like the Rambam, then certainly the Tisefta reads beautifully.
Yeah.
But even if you don't learn like the Rambam, you're suggesting the Tisefta also makes sense.
Yeah.
So you're right, so it's two psalim. So a Zar is mut on the bomber, and also an Isha is also. The problem is, and this is where Beryl's really coming from, because if you look in the Pesukim, there's only one Pesuk that teaches us that a Zara can do Avodah on the bomber. There is no second Pesuk that says an Isha can also do Avodah. So how does this have to know it?
Okay, go ahead.
Sarah Beryl is saying it must be incorporated in the first Pesuk. That's how Beryl's learning. Yesh Lodun, we don't have time to go into this. It's a Machloikas in Yerushalmi, but I'll call upon him. That's how he's learning. That you're right, even though in Svara, of course it could be, but there are two Zaterium, there's only one Pasuk. Oh, it must be, it's all incorporated in one Pasuk.
Okay.
I'll call upon him, let's just sum up what we've said. Again, we're not trying to resolve the Shaila, just trying to discuss it. Number one, we said that what did the Mishnah Melech mean when he even entertained the possibility that a woman should be Chayav Misa? We said in the Rambam is Mashma, that's where the Minchas Chinuch says Mefurash, that the reason is because the definition of a czar is any non-male kohen. And that's why a woman who does avodah is transgressing the law of a czar. She is a czar. She would be chayav misa. In the Asvin Deiraisa, it seems to be far more expanded definition, that it's not just something specific to an isha, it's anybody who is disqualified from the avodah is considered a czar. Ad kedei kach yeretzah, that even a kohen who does the avodah could be considered a czar if it's on Yom HaKippurim, where he's not allowed to do the avodah. That's different to what the Pashas are Rambam.
What about this halacha of avoider? It's time halacha or
anything? Yes, that was Tosis Kasha. Tosis says it's mitzvah seishas man gromo.
So, why we need to continue to talk about it?
That was Tosis Kasha. Tosis says, you're right, because had I only had, if I was just based it on zman gromo, because avoider is only done by yoim, I would never have known that the avoider is possible. I would say, fine, they're exempt.
A woman could check love.
An exempt. There's no issa for them to do avoda.
It's not grammar.
An issa. An issa is exempt from tilling. An issa is exempt from lulav. But there's no issa. Says Tosis, yeah, that's why I need a pasuk to tell me it's true that it's man grammar and they're exempt. But you should know it's not just an exemption. There's an issa for them to do avoda. And if they do avoda, they're machalali avoda. So the Minchas Chinuch suggested this is a machlekes between the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch. The Taras HaKodesh is learning that in Tosfos, that very Tosfos is man groma, is muchach also, there's an Issa Zarus. We said it might even be a Mufurish Gemara. The Gemara says, La Kabbalah Shekein Psula Bazar Ve'ishal. The Gemara seems to group it as two independent Psulim, which is a great raya until we get to the Shittim Mukabetzes. The Shittim Mukabetzes says, no, please delete the word Isha. Why? Why? It's true.
Because we need to match.
Says Rebel, the reason why I need to delete it is because not two independent things. Zar and Isha is in fact only one psal. So we have Raz, Lakan, and Lakan. Beis Hashem, when the Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt,
we'll see who will be killed.
We'll see who will be killed. Yes.